It's my privilege to open up God's Word this morning. I think what we see in this passage is something remarkable about God's Word, where it's written for a particular people in a particular time and particular place many, many years ago, and yet still lives and speaks into us in a particular people, in a particular time, in a particular place. For a few visitors that are here, my name is Paul Kupke. I'm glad to be able to meet you. Feel free to come and chat afterwards. But let's pray, and then we'll open up Deuteronomy chapter 8. Father, we thank you that you are the living God, the Lord of heaven and earth, the one who speaks and the world was created, the one who speaks and your word becomes life to us. Please speak to us this morning. Help us to hear what you have to say to us, and not just hear, but to understand and apply. We pray this for our good and for your glory. Amen. Are you ever going to forget 2020 as long as you live? We normally spend the Sunday between Christmas and New Year reflecting on the year that's been and how God has carried us through it. And all other years have their particular events and milestone markers that happen, but they all tend to blend into one. My suspicion is that 2020 is different. Now, I don't claim to be a prophet or anything like that, but I have this strong expectation that this year is remembered. A bit like 9/11, where that event happened and everything was different afterwards, this year is going to be an event that stays. Will you ever forget this year? And perhaps a more important question is, what will you remember from this year? What is going to stick with you in this time? We have a time now after Christmas is finished to stop and to reflect and to ponder even the year that's been, something we may not have had an opportunity to do so far this year. What's going to stay with you from this year? What are the lasting conclusions about life in this world that you have made? One of the blessings of this year for me was gathering with a discipleship group where we read the same Bible passages and journaled our responses, memorized a verse together, and then gathered for an hour a week to reflect on that and pray together. As we were doing that, one of the passages we read a month ago was Deuteronomy chapter 8. And it landed on us penetratingly as we reflected on this year. And so it's my sort of privilege coming out of that time with this group of guys to share this with you. The people of Israel, historically, as this is said, is they are sort of at the edge of the promised land after living 40 years in a dry and barren wilderness. Despite the fact that the previous generation had seen God deliver them from slavery in Egypt, they failed to trust him to lead them, and as a result, they died in the wilderness. This next generation stands on the edge of the promised land. And as they do, Moses reminds them of the God who has led them this far. I read from verse 16. He gave you manna to eat in the wilderness, something your ancestors had never known, to humble and test you, so that in the end it might go well with you. The wilderness was to humble them, to test them, so that it might go well with them. I had a very unusual conversation in the foyer of this church at a Vision 100 Church Leaders Conference in late October. A fellow pastor and I were chatting, and he said to me, "Has COVID been good for your church?" I stared at him kind of blankly. Good? I could have easily said that our church had made it through, and we'd done quite well with it, but to actually call it good? And yet our passage today provokes the question. Has 2020 helped you remember God? Has it been good for your faith? Our passage today suggests that our greatest danger is not hardship, but comfort. The land, the wilderness was a time of testing that became blessing. The land they were about to enter would be a place of blessing that would test their loyalty. So what was 2020? Are you humbled and dependent on God as you come out of this wilderness sort of thing? Or are you just as self-sufficient as ever? A big idea today is that remembering God leads to faith, which leads to obedience. As we pause and reflect on this passage in Deuteronomy, it is worth thinking about these things. This year is not a year that we are not going to forget. So let's make sure we remember what is important. And the first thing to remember this morning is the desert. If we don't remember the desert, we forget God and we think that it's our own power and work that has produced what we have. Have a look at verse 1. Be careful to follow every command I am giving you today so that you live and increase and may enter and possess the land the Lord promised on oath to your ancestors. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. This passage is filled with themes of remembering and not forgetting. We read, do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands in verse 11. Your heart will become proud and you will forget in verse 14. Remember the Lord your God. It is he who gives you the ability. And then do not forget the Lord your God and follow other gods, or you'll surely be destroyed. So we're to nostalgically just to remember the hard times, but to remember the God who walked them through those hard times. And then when times got good, they weren't to forget him. The wilderness God took them into was in order that he would humble them, test them, so that he could know their hearts. Because the wilderness becomes this ideal classroom for faith. A place where they could learn to trust God, to follow him, to depend on him, to obey him. The wilderness was a place where faith would be proven. And this year it's tested and exposed our faith, hasn't it? Consider what we've learned this year. We've learned the things that we think will make us secure, and how vulnerable they really are, how fragile they really are. We've learned the greatest fears that we have and how unsettling it is when those fears are, when those things are threatened. We've learned the first things we think of when we get up in the morning and how that unmasks what is actually most important to us. We've learned the first things we'll put back into our lives where we could do stuff again, and how that exposes the priorities that are really our true priorities. Has this year been a wilderness year to humble, to test, and to know what is in our hearts? The danger for Israel was not just that they would forget to thank God when things got well, but that they would forget God entirely. Could the same thing be said about us? Has this year helped you remember? Look at verse 12. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, when your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. And then jumping down to verse 17, you may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. This could easily summarize the thinking of our culture that we very quickly subscribe to. We think the things that we come from my abilities, my hard work, my cleverness, or my professional skills. and therefore they are ours to use and exploit as we desire. Now, the Bible approves of hard work, but it very quickly pops the balloon of self-sufficiency. Have a look what God says to Israel in this passage, just after this bit. He says, I brought you out of Egypt in the land of slavery, in verse 14. I led you through the dreadful wilderness, verse 15. I brought you water, 15. I gave you food, verse 16. I gifted you with the ability to produce. What could they possibly have that they could be proud of? Where do they think it all came from? This passage emphatically underlines the fact that humanity depends on God for everything. Who do you think put you in Tasmania? Who gave you your abilities, your character, your background, your education, your opportunities? You have nothing that doesn't come from the hand of God. Don't just remember this year. Remember what this says. Look at verse 18. But remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth, and so confirms His covenant, which He swore to your ancestors as it is today. 2020 is a reality check. It's a form of wilderness. Do not forget your God and think that it's your own power and your own wealth that has created what you have. It's a lie. Our greatest danger is not hardship, it's comfort. So will you remember to learn to remember the Lord your God? It's our first thing, remember the desert. Our second thing is to remember our promised home. Because if we forget our promised home, we very easily become satisfied with what we have. Forgetting is the death of longing. Have a look at verse 7. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with brooks, streams, and deep springs gushing out into valleys and hills, a land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil and honey, a land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing, a land where rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills. Now, we need to think about how this description stirred a generation of people who have only ever known the dry, barren wilderness. Brooks and streams and springs gushing out into valleys and hills. It's tantalizing. Instead of only manna, there is wheat and barley, olive oil and fig trees and pomegranates. It's everything they long for. It captivates their hearts in a way that Willy Wonka's chocolate factory has captivated all of us at some stage in our lives. God might have taught them through the wilderness, but His desire for them is not for things to be scarce, but for them to lack nothing. This wilderness experience is supposed to stoke their desire for the promised land, salivating about this idea of being in the place that God has promised them. Now, has 2020 made you dissatisfied with here? Or are you still convinced that Tasmania is the good life? What longings has this year stirred in you? Or are those longings simply just for things to return back to the way they were this time last year? Has the brokenness that you've observed in the world around you reset your longings so that you long for a better place, a heavenly country, as Hebrews 11 talks about? At the Solid Ground event in November, I talked about the songs of the African American slaves, a genre of music called spirituals. They shared the same faith and the same theology as the people of privilege that were around them. And yet their music was different. Rather than being focused on now, it looked forward with living hope to what God had promised as their future home through Jesus Christ. In the midst of brutal suffering, they contain surprising amounts of joy, hope, and expectation. As C.S. Lewis observes, if we find ourselves with a desire that nothing in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that we weren't made for this world. These spirituals were songs to remember their promised home, a place that exceeds the comfort and ease of this place in every way. Have a look at how God himself describes in Revelation chapter 21. And I heard this loud voice from the throne say, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and he will be, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He'll wipe every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death, no more mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who is seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." God will be there. There'll be nothing unfair. There'll be nothing to make you sad. Nothing to make you afraid. This year has been a gift to remind you that you were not made for this world. Don't settle for Tasmania as the good life. Forgetting the promised home is the death of longing. Remember. Our next thing to remember is that faith leads to obedience. If remembering is the big theme of this passage, obedience is the anticipated and logical outcome as a result of that. We see that in verses 1, 2, 6, 19, 20, and in the key verses of 10 and 11, which I'll read for you now. "When you've eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I am giving you this day." When they forget God, they don't just forget the memory of the desert. They forget a person. The Lord of heaven and earth who rescued them out of his grace for relationship. Obedience shows whether they've lost touch of that relationship or if by trusting him they are still living in it. Now for some people forgetting a birthday is not a big deal. But for others it's deeply hurtful. Not because a birthday itself is a big thing, but because it feels like you have forgotten them. They feel rejected and valueless to you. The prophets capture that same sort of feeling in the God of the Bible as his people turn their back on him and reject him. It hurts him personally. Disobedience isn't just breaking a list of rules, it's turning their back on relationship with God. So what you do when you forget God is you say, "I don't need you. I can do this on my own." When you forget your promised home, you say, "I don't need you. I can make a good life now." If you turn your back on someone and you walk away, you make an enemy. God is a God of relationship. It's deeply hurtful to forget him entirely and to walk away. And having the Creator of the universe is not a good enemy to have. And yet in the incredible kindness of this God, he intervenes. He sent his Son into the world in a manger at Christmas so that through his perfect life, death, and resurrection, a way might be made for people who have turned their back on God and walked away to be welcomed into his kingdom. Paul says it this way in Romans chapter 5. "For if, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life?" Those who receive the gift God offers by faith recognize Jesus as their true Lord, they're no longer God's enemies, but they come under His good rule in the place He has provided forever. When we see how Jesus has made this relationship with God possible, it leads us to faith that Jesus is the best Lord that we could have. One who is for us in every way. One that we can trust fully. And therefore one that it makes sense to follow joyfully, to obey. That is why obedience follows naturally from faith. Listen to how Paul said, in Romans chapter 1, verse 5. Well, through Him, which is Jesus, we have received grace and apostleship to call the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith for His name's sake, the sake of the name of the One who is Lord. The Bible is emphatic that we don't earn our salvation. We don't do that in any way. And at the same time, it fundamentally expects that we will obey out of relationship. In 2020, as in every other year in history, remembering leads to faith, which leads to obedience. If you struggle to obey, the solution is not that you need to try harder to get things right, but to ask, what have I not believed? What have I not remembered about God that makes me act or think in this way? For example, if you find yourself thinking that it's your own hands that have earned your house and the life that you have, you don't have to think, I need to try harder to be more thankful. You need to remember God. Let His Spirit in you remind you of all truth. Remember Him as the Lord who gave you everything. Who did not even withhold His Son, but He sent His Son at Christmas and then to the cross because you were needy. As you do that, as you remember that, you will be humbled. Your relationship will be rekindled. Your faith stirred. Your gratitude and contentment grow because faith leads to obedience. And then finally, last thing to remember today, we need to remember to eat. How do we remember? How do we make sure that we do not forget? We remember what we live on, what we eat. Have a look at verse 3. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but from every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Have a look at God's activity in this process. He humbled. He caused to hunger. He fed. He disciplines like a good father, as we see in verse 5. We live on bread. It is a gift from God. He provided it to show that He was providing something that was far more important than mere bread. Bread keeps us physically alive. But God's Word gives life. It reveals His promises, His character, His guidance and His purposes in our world. If you want to know how important that is, Jesus Himself seeks it out when He is under pressure in the wilderness. It orientates His life to doing the will of the Father. Because the temptation there in the wilderness revealed what was in Jesus' heart. This passage helps pierce through the fog of Satan's lies so that Jesus can live by the Word of God alone in a way that Israel was unable to do. It leads Jesus on this pathway of obedience to the Father that will eventually end up at the cross. A pathway of obedience He invites and expects all His followers to take. His Spirit He's placed within us allows us to kill off the desires to live for ourselves and to instead follow Jesus as Lord. Jesus lives on every word that comes from the mouth of God. If you want to remember, you must do the same. For the past 20 years, Gallup has been taking a poll of mental and emotional well-being, asking people to rate theirs either as excellent, good, fair, or poor. And in that time, over the past 20 years, excellent and good has bounced between 89 and 81%. 2020, dropped to 76%. It's been a hard year, especially in the US. Those who attended church seldom or never dropped 13%. Those who attended church between weekly and monthly dropped 12%. What do you think about those who are at church every week? They rose 4%. This year, for all its struggles, didn't impact faith. Those who attended didn't just get community. They got food. They remembered God. Without wanting to sound like a mum of a student who's gone off to college, have you eaten well this year? Has 2020 been good for your faith? The end of a year is time for reflection and planning for the next one. What steps of repentance do you need to take to make sure you are fed well and can remember God next year? Do you need to reverse the trend of irregular attendance that's becoming common in this community and was becoming common before COVID? Do you want to join a small group or a discipleship group like the one that has fed me so well, or a one-to-one? We don't live on bread alone until God takes you to that promised home. Eat up His Word. Equip the Spirit with the resources to pierce through Satan's lies. 2020 has been a year to remember. Let's make sure we remember the Lord our God. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we're people who are prone to forget. We're prone to forget, especially when things go well and life becomes easy. We're prone to think that the things we have come from us. And we don't just forget that they come from You, we forget You entirely. Father, it's hard to say it, but this year has been a gift. A gift to remember You and to humble us, to expose what is in our heart. Father, for the many, many times this year we've been exposed of having other things in our hearts except for You. When our treasures and desires and hopes and aspirations have been placed in things that are fleeting and futile. Father, equip those here to remember. And in remembering, to have the great joy and hope that only comes from knowing You as Lord and knowing our promised home. Spur us on in those things next year and beyond for our great good and Your glory. Amen. Now we're going to sing a song again that helps us remember as we sing See Him Coming on the Clouds of Heaven. A confession that Jesus is Lord and an understanding that He'll one day return in that way. Let's sing together.